So every day of this month, we have been speaking to different women who we'd like to showcase as powerful and the like. And I must admit, you know, even if we are the show that had that amazing big breakfast broadcast for LGBTQIA people, we definitely, I think, have had a blind spot regarding trans women in this particular month. And it's only the 15th, so I'm only halfway through. Hopefully it's not too late. And Mandima Kunta is going to join us today, founder of Tint, to help us understand the journey and the space of trans women.
Breakfast with Refilwe Mulato
on Cape Talk.
Good morning, Mandima. How are you doing?
Good morning, Lucille. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. When you reached out to me, it was just after the big breakfast broadcast, I think. And I think maybe we positioned ourselves as a safe space for you to reach out.
Yes.
And you were so bold and saying, can't wait to tell you a little bit more about us. And so tell us more. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay.
Just very early in the morning.
It
so
is.
Excuse,
no,
excuse sure. My voice is a bit raspy, but I'm here.
Beautiful. Okay,
thank
so
you.
So National Women's Month is this August. We're speaking about various women, and one of the biggest issues that we have in South Africa, of course, is the fact that we are not necessarily embracing trans women in the way that they deserve to be embraced. So tell us a little bit about that journey.
Okay, so as I said, my organization is called Tint. And that stands for the LGBTI community. And in that, we cover the whole spectrum and the people that we work with. And for me, it's also been quite a big learning curve in terms of working, because one of my colleagues is a trans woman herself. And I found that I've learned so much from just her journey and having worked with her. And one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is that as a community, there are LGBTI issues or LGBTI spectrums, but the trans journey is so much further and so much deeper than what we understand, and something that I think society as a whole is quite far from understanding. And I think one of the biggest things about it is that the world or society, we work from a very heteronormative perspective, and we found that as a community, we struggle to be included in it. And our struggle is not even half of what the trans women go through, because a lot of them find themselves ostracized, a lot of them find themselves abused and very marginalized from the community one, and also from society as a whole, because people don't understand them. And when people don't understand things, they reject the people without giving them a chance to just present themselves, firstly, as human beings outside of their gender or outside of their identity.
So here's the crazy thing. If I recall correctly, the gay pride movement of New York, not the San Francisco.
South African.
No, yes. Not San Francisco. So the gay pride movement in the West Village was begun by trans women.
Yes, that's correct.
And somehow when we celebrate gay pride today, it is the capital G, mostly white male.
Yes.
Of the LGBTQ. How did that happen?
I think from my understanding
sorry to interrupt, Mandima, black trans women.
Yes, correct. Yes.
Actually started the pride movement in West Village.
Yes. And to add to that, the black trans women have started a lot of movements, especially in the States and in South Africa. But there has been a lot of erasure in terms of the archiving and documenting of the contribution of black queer bodies in general, especially the black trans women specifically. And I think a big part of that, and my understanding of how we see things, and when we say LGBTI, the big focus is on white males, is on white gay males, is that because of the struggle that we go through as black bodies in general, even in terms of coverage, in terms of archiving, a lot of the focus when homosexuality has been put in the forefront, a lot of the access as well, has been towards the gay white males, which in a way has then put us to the side. And what you find now in the community as well is that amongst ourselves as well, there is a lot of marginalization and a lot of segregation between us, which is something that organizations like Tint are trying to work to fix, because if we're saying we're a community and we're saying the spectrum is open to everybody, then there should not be a space for race as well. And I've, part of what has happened to the black trans women and their contribution is a big part of that, is that they have been the front workers, they've been the ones that are supportive and putting things to the front line. But when it comes to interviews like this or work that is represented or opportunities that come up, they are then pushed to the back, which is very unfortunate.
Mandima, am I making a mistake by talking to you instead of talking to a trans person?
Yes, I believe so. I would have loved for you to, and there's nothing wrong with it, because I actually spoke to my trans, who is also a very good close friend of mine. Her name is Glow. I spoke to her before this to say to her that, listen, I'm going to go for an interview, etc. And I said to her, what are the kind of pointers you would like for me to represent? And Rafula, I don't want you to feel bad in terms of speaking to me, because I am in the space, and that's why I took the opportunity to also highlight that they are there, they do exist, and they're such powerful and beautiful voices which need to be heard. Because I feel like, as much as I'm giving you my perspective, I identify as lesbian and not trans, or trans woman on top of that. So it would have been so much more, I think, impactful if you had spoken to her. But she's happy for me to also just shed the light.
We never hear from lesbians, so thanks. No, we never, ever hear from lesbians.
Ever. That's true. You know what, and I know some people might fight me for this, but there is misogyny and there is patriarchy within the LGBTI community. And what I found is that...
Why do gays hate y'all?
I don't think it's hate. I personally don't feel like gay people hate me.
No, they don't hate. It's like petty queendom. Like,
it's the... For me, I think it's the patriarchy that has found its way into homosexuality as well. And if we look at the hierarchy of how society works, is that it is the white male and it's the white woman, etc. You know the hierarchy. And we found that as well now, when it opens up to homosexuality, the first people that are given access is the gay white male before the lesbian white female. You understand? So it's that same hierarchy. The same hierarchy that is prevalent in your society is playing the same thing in ours, and that is something that we are working so hard against fighting and against changing. And I think it's also just the thing of how we were brought up, because a lot of lesbian women were brought up as straight little girls, and you know how that is that if you're brought up as a straight little girl, the limelight doesn't necessarily come to you. It doesn't necessarily come to you, so you're not taught, you're not pushed to put yourself out there, to be confident, to take over the world, etc. So as a result, some of us have grown up with that same mentality, hence you're saying you don't hear a lot from us lesbians. And a lot, what you see a lot, and it's even perpetuated in media, is that the coverage is on a lot of gay men, and everybody else gets like 2 seconds compared to the 6 to 2 seconds given to the gay community. And that's why platforms like Tint exist, to try fix that, to show that we're not, because we found that is now also boxing us in terms of how media is depicting us and how people are engaging with us, is that there's so much more to us, and there's so much more to us than just being entertainers as well, which is a whole other conversation.
Okay,
you know?
So let's get into that conversation. So I want to understand a little bit more about your work that you do. I know that you're a Mail and Guardian, you know major 200s. I never know how to name that, the 200 young South Africans. What does that mean? Anyway, but you are a fantastic finalist, and of course, let's hear a little bit more about what's happening with your organization. You've recently been affected with respect to a robbery, I think.
So it's even worse than a robbery, because it was so unexpected. So as Tint, we stand for the LGBTIQA+ community. And within that, we own 2 properties. So Tint is like the umbrella term for the work we do in the community. And under that, we have 2 properties, which is called Le Grand Ball. So again, Le Grand Ball is our South African version of something that started in the States, started by black trans women, called the ballroom culture or the ballroom scene. And I know in South Africa, you guys are probably very familiar with Vogue Nights, which is quite big and has done extremely well. So we were part of that movement as well. So before COVID, we were Le Grand Ball existed in terms of creating events, which is something we want to bring back. And then we have Tint Talks, and under Tint Talks, it is the first in South Africa, which is an online queer talk show. And that's what I was saying to you, that it's we weren't robbed. It's even worse than that. COVID came and it shut us down. And then when we tried to come back, because the whole premise of Tint Talks is to have the live audience element to create a safe space for our audience and for our community. And basically what Tint Talks is you come through, we discuss topics that are relevant to our community and also very relevant to just society, because we also have straight viewers or a straight audience. And whenever they go and watch our content, they always come back to give us feedback that they learn so much from us, from our social media, from our YouTube channel. And unfortunately, last year, we were hit by a freak accident where we had shot our last episode and we're taking our equipment back to our office. And my friend's car, which had all of our camera equipment, caught fire. Literally, in 30 minutes, we lost over 100,000 worth of equipment in a fire.
Okay, yeah. So what can we do? What can we do, my darling?
Yeah, please, if you guys can support us, we're running a fundraiser on BackerBuddy. It's a South African platform.
Okay.
On BackerBuddy, please look up Tint Talks. We're trying to raise 100,000 so that we can go back to creating our content, go back to creating safe spaces, and we would love any form of donation. We're also not just looking for monetary donation. So if people have old equipment they're not using or it's just sitting there, we would love to take it off your hands and just go back to creating, because there are so many beautiful queer stories, so many beautiful queer people that we want to document, we want to archive, and we'd love as much support as we can get.
We would happily do that. Yaku is one of our favorite listeners. He sent us a WhatsApp saying, good morning, Rufilo. He's a gay white male.
Hello, Yaku.
Hi, Yaku.
Thank you, Yaku.
And he says, the lady you're interviewing right now is right. As a member of the LGBTI community, I agree
about
the patriarchal structure, and it needs to change.
Oh, thank you, Yaku. I really appreciate the validation and affirmation. Sometimes you think you're creating these scenarios in your head.
Mandema Kanta, thank you so much, founder of Tint. I'm so glad we got to talk. Thank you so much for reaching out to us. All right, that is our wonderful...